You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everybody. The second part of our UFC 254 post-fight coverage here on MMAfighting.com. It's the UFC 254 Khabib versus Gaethje post-fight show. I am Mike Heck. I do not do this alone. I'm being joined once again by our producer extraordinaire, E. Casey Lydon. And look who decided to join the party, the Prince of Positivity himself, Mr. Alex K. Lee. Alex, how are you, my man? UFC 254 in the books. First impressions.
These people must be so tired of our faces. We did the live weigh-ins late Thursday. We did a live preview show, which we don't always do. We did a live preview show, and now the post show. So people have seen our faces, Mike, for about 8 hours in the last like 3 days, which is a lot. I think I would say is a lot of time. But what an event, though. I think a lot of us fans as well are re-energized and definitely eager to kind of talk about everything that went down tonight, because this was, I would say, maybe the most eventful show of 2020, and I can't imagine any upcoming shows topping it.
All right, so let's just get right into the main event, because a lot happened in the fight and then a lot happened after the fight. Khabib Nurmagomedov goes in there, beats Justin Gaethje, submits him in the second round, and I don't know about you guys, but I was just left thinking, kind of like what Dana White was saying at the post-fight press conference, just like, oh my God, like that was just unbelievable. That's ridiculous. This guy is just a machine. And then he gets on the microphone and announces his retirement at 29-0. He said he made a promise to his mother after the passing of his father. He said, I'm going to do one more, and then I'm never going to fight again. And he has announced his retirement. We didn't hear anything else. It was a very eloquent, very beautiful post-retirement speech, thanking everybody, saying in a couple of different languages. No post-fight scrum, no backstage interviews with ESPN or any of the media outlets. He said what he had to say, and he was out of there. So, AK, let's start with the performance itself. Khabib Nurmagomedov goes in there, gets a finish, does what he did to 28 others, submits Justin Gaethje. What were your thoughts on the performance?
I loved it. It silenced so much of what I had written in an article with our own Jen Meshew, kind of debating the greatness of... Am I frozen?
No, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry, guys. Jed and I were debating the greatness.
Are you frozen? I'm
like frozen on my screen. People need to see my gesticulating. Okay, the voice isn't enough.
You're back.
Thank you. All right. Anyway, Jed and I were debating, the greatness of Khabib, whether he's the greatest fighter of all time. I said he wasn't. One of the reasons was, I think we like to see our greats show another dimension. I mean, look, his one dimension is so dominant, and if he never showed anything besides wrestling, it wouldn't matter. He'd still be in the running for the greatest fighter of all time. But when you see them kind of go out of their comfort zone, like a John Jones might, for example. Tonight, he went out there that first round saying, I'm going to stand with Gaethje. I'm going to stand. And he was throwing some unorthodox stuff. He was getting in Gaethje's face. It was tense. It was really tense. But I don't think Gaethje expected it. I think that was such a big part of Nurmagomedov's victory was he expected pressure, but not that kind of pressure, not that kind of stand-up pressure, not this guy winging shots at him, throwing shovel punches, running knees. It was awesome. It looked a little sloppy at times. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is K1 Khabib we saw here, but this berserker version of Khabib, it makes me a little sad that one of the many reasons that I'm sad that he's retiring, because clearly he's still showing so much growth as a fighter. And he really gave Gaethje a look that he couldn't prepare for. I don't think anyone could prepare for. And then, of course, he took it home with the wrestling. So it was just, again, if anyone wants to make an argument that he's the greatest of all time, you can make a strong one. He certainly showed, and tonight was really a great exclamation point. If this truly is the end of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I left it saying just, and I was kind of in agreement with everybody else. Like, Gaethje just has enough crazy in him to possibly be the guy. If you watch the preview show, I didn't pick Gaethje. I said, I pretty much predicted what would happen actually happened. But I thought Gaethje, if anybody could do it, it was him. And if he couldn't do it, then nobody could. So I left that thinking, nobody's going to beat this man. It's just not possible unless he goes up to 170 or, you know, maybe goes up and fights GSP, which I think he'd still beat GSP anyways. And I've thought that for a while, but it is, I mean, just an unbelievable performance. And then to find out, I mean, Dana White, we were talking about this before we went on air. Dana White did his post-fight press conference. Very rarely does his post-fight press conferences not go like under 20 minutes. This one was like as long as Alexander Volkov's post-fight scrum. Like, it was like just over 7 minutes. He didn't say much. He praised Nurmagomedov. He talked about wanting to see potentially a rematch between Adesanya and Whitaker. But the other thing he said that stuck out to me was that Khabib broke his foot. Like, Khabib fought that fight basically on one foot. That is just bananas, AK. It's bananas, I tell you.
Did he also say that they didn't know about that? They didn't know. He just found out today. Was that the implication from Dana that he didn't know?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm trying
he
to remember.
Said, I think he said after the fight, Habib's cornerman told him. So I guess now they can, tell the secrets of, the hardships of the training camp. So
behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical. I think this. This is just my opinion. By the way, I'm not throwing out anything substantial. I feel like so. I anytime there's an injury like that, I feel like someone knew. I'm throwing this in there with the weigh-in conspiracy. I feel like there's a book to be written about this, the lead up to this fight someday. The weigh-in conspiracy. Was he allowed to go in with a partially injured foot? I don't know. We'll find out. But again, that whatever controversies you want to believe in or even manufacture, shouldn't overshadow his performance tonight.
Yeah, this is your takeaway from the fight? That someone knew about the broken foot?
I gave my takeaway. But look,
Whitman might have known because in the corner, he's talking to Justin Gaethje, okay? And he's telling him to calm the F down, don't get effing lazy. But then they cut to the replays, Trevor Whitman says, keep going after the leg. We know he can't walk right now.
Huh.
I was like, what did that mean? Like, that stuck out to me. I was like, what does that even mean?
Could mean, yeah.
No, maybe they knew.
Casey, what do you think it meant?
Oh, I think it means nothing. I think it meant that they were trying to stick to the game plan, and which is what I said. The only way Gaethje was going to win this fight. And he was on his way to doing that before he lost. But, it was leg kicks. He would have to destroy Habib's leg, and which he was trying to do, but he just didn't do it enough before he lost. With the advice he didn't need, he needed some Kamar Usman advice and some foot stomps. The fighter of the year, Kamar Usman, okay? You know that, right?
Oh, Casey.
Foot stomps would have won the fight tonight.
I wish I could see the world of combat sports through your gentle eyes and ignore the possibility that this injury might have been more well known than we thought. Because again, I know you're all just about the love of the game. Hashtag Otter Pops. I know that's all you care about. Getting your sweet, sweet tweets on the broadcast.
Yet another pay per view, another broadcast. I did not make the broadcast again.
What? No.
Not again. I don't. I put all the hashtags in. Hashtag in Abu Dhabi. Hashtag W Hotel. Hashtag the hospitality is awesome here. Like,
That hashtag's a little long. That might be why you didn't get it off. I think that one actually hurt you.
All right, focus, guys.
By the way, for those watching right now, we want to hear from you. We want to get your thoughts, answer your questions. So questions, comments, leave them in the chat. What I thought was kind of interesting, AK, was that two of the judges, not one, not two, gave the first round to Justin Gaethje. Are you surprised by this?
I wouldn't have scored it for Justin Gaethje myself. I don't think it's the worst card. I think it's bad. But I'm not going to defend it. I'm just saying it's not the worst, but I don't see it. I didn't see Gaethje land anything hard. It really looked like he was struggling to figure out, again, Nurmagomedov's timing, Nurmagomedov's game plan. All the aggression was not even just the aggression. When we go beyond aggression, the effective striking had to be in favor of Nurmagomedov. Again, maybe I'll look at the numbers tomorrow and see something differently. But certainly, upon first glance, I was thinking, man, Nurmagomedov's really taking it to Justin Gaethje. So, but in odd score, I do think Gaethje got slipped in some punches, some counters, which maybe. His style is very crowd pleasing, I guess judge pleasing as well. So again, I won't really vilify. There was some other shaky cards in the night as well. So, not the best. Not the best from the judges today.
The problem with the scorecards, in my opinion, was I agree with you. I think Habib was landing. I think he missed a lot of those shots, and when Gaethje landed, it counted. Those leg kicks are gnarly. The punches to the face were landing. You could hear them. But then Habib took him down and mounted him at the end of the first round. And tried to get an armbar in before the Horde signed up. When you mount a guy in a close round that should give you the round. I don't know.
And you're mounting, you're taking down and mounting Justin freaking Gaethje. And that's unreal. I mean, and this is still a Justin Gaethje with still 80% still left in the gas tank. I don't know. I mean, he was still full of energy. And the fact that he was able to do that is how do you give him that round? That's ridiculous.
So Habib Nurmagomedov retires. AK, I feel like every time a fighter retires, we have to ask this question. Do you believe him? Do you really believe him? But oh. I feel like with this one, I feel like I believe it. I feel like there's really nothing else he can do outside of – I think he's still a competitive guy. I think he's done everything he needs to do in the UFC. Might they bring him back for like a GSP fight? Like, would that entice him? I'm guessing no, but maybe. Maybe goes into the boxing world and does a Floyd fight, maybe. But I mean, what else does the man need to do? So I tend to believe him that we're not going to see him fight again.
This is my Floyd Habib face.
Mm. I hate it too. I hate that I have to say this out loud.
I'm like 50-50 with sort of predicting the veracity of MMA retirements. I was very good with GSP's career. I remember when he walked away after the Hendricks fight, I was always confident that he would come back and fight again. So I was right about that one. And I'm also just confident that he won't fight again. I don't even think he would have come back for a Habib fight unless they made the money right, which it's the UFC. I wasn't going to bank on that. So that one I was fairly accurate. I'm very wrong on Ronda Rousey, it seems like. I mean, I guess there's still a chance she could fight again, but that seems remote at this point. I was super confident after she kind of disappeared for the first time she would come back. Gustafsson was easy to predict that he would come back. Stefan Struve, we knew he was going to fight again. Some of these are pretty predictable.
Those are off dramatic losses, yeah.
Yeah, those are predictable. This one, yeah, coming off a win is strange. My gut is it's not over. I realize, I know. And look, his speech was great. His personality, as we know it, we know him to be a fairly authentic person. He says what he means what he says. But I do feel like a challenge will arise someday. Keep in mind, this is a very emotional time. Like he said, it's his first fight since the passing of his father. He made a promise to his mother this would be the last one. But he's only 32 years old. Money-wise, I know he doesn't have to worry about it. I don't think we're going to see him coming back because he needs a paycheck. But I do feel like a challenge could arise someday, whether it's a 155, presumably 155, maybe 170. I don't see that, though. And if he's still young enough, he's like 34, 35, I think he does the GSP thing and maybe he's tests back in and says, I need to test myself. So I am not shutting the door on the Nurmagomedov career. I would not be surprised if he does fight again. I'll phrase it that way.
Casey, what do you think? Do you think he's done, or do you think he comes back?
He is done, and happy trails, Mr. Nurmagomedov. Man, he's done. He said it in the cage. He's like, next time you do your rankings, I am the pound for pound king. I won this shit. This is mine. Thank you for the cheese. I'm out. I mean, that's it. Thanks, mom. Made a promise to my mom. Dude, AK is saying he just lied to his mom. That's insane.
Yeah.
You just called Habib a liar.
What if in 2 years his mom says, listen, get your ass off the couch and fight again? Well, guess what? Then he's got to fight. I'm just saying.
That's true. Get a job, Habib.
I bet he has a great relationship with his mom, and I bet they talk about these things all the time. And I think that if he wanted to fight again, they could sort it out. You think Habib misses this?
He's going to miss this? He's going to miss – like, no, he's done.
He's going to miss – jabronis like us talking about him on both my shows. That's what he's going to miss the most.
We're going to lure him in.
We spent like 13 minutes playing his weigh-in video and deciphering it on the preview show yesterday. Just like, I don't need this anymore.
He loves it.
He's not coming back. And man, he's going to use all this money and just do good things for his people back home, and he has like a family and kids, right? The guy's a dad. I mean, just like, yeah, we might see him in some corners for some of his fighters, like maybe when Makhachev fights again, we might see him again as a corner man. But as far as like fighting and being on the mic and dropping promos and, you know, I'll smash you and the number one bullshit, all this stuff, it's done.
Casey, listen, man. He's gonna be training these guys for these fights, and he's gonna be handling them in practice. Like, and he's just gonna be thinking, man, I can still do this. Like, it's like two years. This is like when before Michael Jordan came back, you know, and he was playing like one on one with like BJ Armstrong, and he's like, man, I'm killing these cats. I gotta come back for real. I I'm not predicting he's gonna fight again, but if I had to bet my life, will he fight again? I will lean towards yes.
I thought Jose's bet your paycheck bet was intense. That's like super intense.
I was like, if I had to.
Very low value on your life. That's all I got to say.
My life is worth less than what Jose Young's paychecks. I'll put it that way. That was so sad. Please move us along, Mike. I'm sorry.
You need to talk to the union rep.
I'm a very happy person.
This is what happens when it's an early post fight show.
I know.
It's
3 a.m.
We're actually two awake right now.
I know. We're Jones and we're going crazy. So obviously Habib happy trails and nothing left to prove. So it creates a lot of intrigue and interest at 155 pounds because as of right this moment, we do not have a champion. There is no champion. So we have to figure that out, which AK and I will do on to the next one, at least try to do the best we can. But we'd like to get your opinions on that. What do we do at 155 pounds? If you guys want to talk about Habib and the retirement, whatever you want to talk about. Robert Whittaker's big win. By the way, I'll go through the bonuses before we start going to the questions. Habib obviously gets a bonus with his final victory, or what seems to be his final victory. Magomed Ankalaev said, you know what? I want this rivalry to be done. We're not going to mess around anymore. That was a phenomenal performance. This guy is not an under-the-radar 205er anymore. Big win for him. And then the fight of the night, obviously, Casey Kenney versus Nathaniel Wood. Just a joy to watch. Unbelievable. What a great fight that was.
As you
the 30-20, speaking of bad cards, 30-27 for Kenny. Mm-hmm. I thought Kenny won the fight. That's pretty shitty scorecard.
Whoa.
It was already like halfway out. I'm like, I'm just going to commit to it.
Case, do we have a question right away, or can I go on? Do I have time for a little Whittaker rant?
Oh, do it.
Whittaker rant, listen, go.
Because I went 11 out of 11 with my non-draw picks tonight, I'm allowed to flex a little bit, I think. Here's what I wrote about. Here's just the first line I wrote about Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier. This is what I wrote. Did I miss the memo in which everyone decided that Robert Whittaker is no longer one of the top two middleweights in the world? It started with Izzy, of course, again, saying, yo, I can't, you know, I'm looking forward to a fight with, like, Jared Cannonier or whatever. Like, Jared Cannonier is the next logical contender, which is a nice thing to say, but was, and I don't think he meant it this way, but was a little disrespectful to the fact that he was booked to fight Whittaker. And then all, like, so many predictions I see, like, saying, oh, like, even I think the video, I don't remember if they ran a video for Whittaker. They probably didn't. I missed it. But I do remember them running a video for Cannonier, and I'm just thinking, like, man, this is really presumptuous. And I know you want to build – I applaud them for wanting to build up a contender ahead of time. But what was with people overlooking Robert Whittaker? I think I saw some people saying, like, oh, he's past his prime or something. Like, how old is he now? He's 32? 29? He's not even 30, right? He's 29.
He's south of 30, yeah.
And it's like, he looked great in the Darren Till fight. I think he looked great in both Romero fights. I know they were close fights, but those fights were friggin' amazing. Those fights are not his, like, anyone who's saying, like, oh, he looked, you know, he looked, like, because he didn't dominate Romero. Like, who dominates Romero? Those fights were friggin' incredible. So, to me, he's still the number one contender until someone takes it. I'm not saying Cannonier couldn't do that, but there was just this weird air of disrespect surrounding the Reaper, and it upset me because he's still a great, great fighter. He's in his prime. He's nowhere past his prime. So I'm glad he showed out today and put in such a strong performance.
Listening to Daniel Cormier's commentary, like, if I wasn't watching the fight but just listening to Cormier's commentary, I would have thought Cannonier beat Whittaker 30-25.
DC had some moments tonight. He had some moments tonight where he may have neglected some of the work of one of the fighters. There's a few fights like that.
And speaking of a wacky scorecard, and then I'll go to you, Casey. Rob, how did you score that fight, AK? I scored a 30-27 for Whittaker. How did you score?
I scored a 30-27 for Whittaker. But again, it's one of those 30-27s that I don't think reflects how well Cannonier did as well. Cannonier had some very, very good moments. He was battering Whittaker's leg. I mean, that leg, it's not his fault that Whittaker is made of friggin' iron, because a lot of fighters, with the amount of leg kicks that Cannonier landed, it would have really changed their game plan. They would have really been feeling it. Somehow, Whittaker, you could see the color changing in his leg, and it didn't seem to affect his mobility at all. So, again, that's a credit to Whittaker, not to take anything away from Cannonier. Cannonier fought a great fight. So, 30-27, but a couple of those rounds were certainly close. Good fight overall. Really good fight.
Would you have given him, Cannonier, any round outside of round one?
I don't know. You know, did you see the scorecard?
I'm looking at it right now.
It's a weird one.
Which I was surprised. Yes.
Because
first round was the close round. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you gave it to Cannonier, I scored it for Whittaker still, even though Cannonier was lighting his leg up on fire. But I still would have gave it to Whittaker. One judge gave Cannonier round one. Two judges gave Cannonier round two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, again, the judging tonight.
Bad cards.
You know, a little strange.
That's why they have three judges. That's, I guess, you know, so I don't know. That was.
So if Kennedy won that third round, he would have won the fight, which is crazy.
Well, thankfully it worked out. Again, and look, it at least in the end, it was a unanimous decision. So the, you know, the right call was made. But you're right. The way we got there was a little confusing.
And what do you want to say about that fight, Casey?
Oh, Robert Whittaker rules. That's all. Man, he's so good. Yeah. I mean, I agree with AK about, you know, people were, you know, I guess you must have forgot type of stuff with Whittaker. I picked Whittaker coming into this fight. I think the people were sleeping on him because I think all the promos and Izzy were talking about Cannoneer. And Izzy doesn't seem to be – maybe things are going to change now, but Izzy has never seemed to be very didn't seem like the idea of a rematch of Robert Whittaker right now. I think he wants new opponents, new guys. Like, rematches just don't he's just not into it right now. So I think that's why I think as fans we wanted Cannoneer to win because we want to see Cannoneer a fresh matchup. But I didn't like this fight taking place in the first place because I thought Cannoneer had earned his title shot, and now we lose the number one contender. You know, so. Yeah, UFC matchmakers, that's what they want.
Makes Till Hermanson even bigger.
Yeah.
For those keeping score at home, Crystal Suck.
I knew you got one. Dang it.
A point. That's a point for Crystal Suck. Crystal Suck and don't do anything, all right? I'm just saying.
They clearly do something because he got two judges gave him round two. So he just didn't have enough crystals.
He did use a corruption crystal.
Yeah, there was a corruption crystal. Brains, yeah, so
which I think is a little underhanded.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, I'm a man of science. All right, I give credit where credit's due. So when our man Brian Kelleher is racking up, you know, fight night bonuses and going on win streaks. All right, I'm saying okay, maybe crystals do something. But when stuff like this happens, guess what? Crystals failed. All right, those stupid crystals failed. I'm just saying. Shout out in the YouTube comments if you hate crystals. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Robert Whittaker says coffee more powerful than crystals. More coffee than he had crystals. So someone said,
I love it.
Yeah.
And Whittaker himself said Cannoneer just needed more crystals maybe. And I think because of the pandemic and the visas and travel issues of, you know, going into Abu Dhabi, I'm sure there was a limited amount of crystals he could bring in from the States. So if this fight was at the Apex, Cannoneer wins that fight easy, bro. Easy.
Oh my gosh.
We're going off the rails here. Let's bring in the peeps.
Ready for the peeps? Like, what do they want to talk about?
I mean, geez Louise.
All right.
What a card. It was just a great card right off the bat. Started off with Joel Alvarez with a quick submission win. He looked very good. Miranda Maverick, what a debut for her.
I knew that. Yeah.
Do you think Justin won the first round? No, I don't think he won the first round.
Nope.
I think the round was very close, but I think Khabib taking him down and mounting him and going for submissions at the end of the round sealed it for him.
I'll add that I think some of the early success might have made up some of the judges' minds. The fact that again, he did shrug off a couple of early takedowns. He was, quote unquote, maybe it looked like he was forcing Khabib to fight his fight. Though again, I think if you watch it again, you'll see Khabib was doing pretty much what he wanted. But I think because it stayed at standing, that probably influenced one of the. Do we say two of the judges scored it for Justin?
Two.
They must have thought, well, this, you know, if it's a standing fight, that's how Gaethje wants it. So Gaethje must be dictating the action. But I don't really think that's what happened.
I like your impression of a judge.
Well, Casey, this is how a judge talks. This is a judge voice.
Where's your monocle?
I don't have it on me, but yes, I imagine they all wear monocles. They all wear monocles.
So, I mean, it was a close round, but I think the end sealed it for Khabib.
He got mount. He got mount, and he had an armbar attempt, a couple of leg kicks, and a couple of punches that didn't really seem to affect Khabib. That doesn't outdo a getting taken down mounted.
Our good friend Tristan Gordat just getting right after
Let's
this.
Let's do it. Thing.
We're
Let's
not
do
messing
this.
Around. We're not mincing words.
On to the
what
next one.
What do you do in the lightweight division since Khabib has just retired? Will they do McGregor versus Poirier for the vacant title? Do you set up Chandler versus Ferguson or Chandler versus Gaethje? AK, do you have a thought on this initially? Of course, we're going to let it all out. All our lightweight divisional title implication chatter out on to the next one. But your initial thoughts just hours after this pay-per-view ends.
Yeah, obviously I'm going to put a little more thought into it before we record our show, but I'm not going to – I don't know why. You know what it is? It's the UFC slick promotional work that got to me. I'm not sure who I would necessarily want to face him. I want to see Michael Chandler in there. I don't know why. I think they have really thrown Michael Chandler in our faces. And Michael Chandler, by the way, is a guy who's just – if you want to ever see a guy who's super comfortable doing media, I'm not saying he's like the best at like, you know, producing crazy sound bites or like cutting like fiery promos, but a guy who's comfortable, like you want to put him in front of a camera for like 45 minutes and just talk, he'll do it. Maybe you won't want him to, but he'll do it. He's not, he's going to represent, he's very professional. He's a constant professional. He's going to represent your company very well. They gave him a lot of camera time today. They gave him a little promo, even though he doesn't have technically doesn't have a fight booked. They had him with Anakin and Cormier just kind of chatting it up, filling some airtime. They sold me. I would not have a problem. And the fact that, again, they were willing to put him in there with Khabib or Gaethje tonight if something had happened to either fighter says what they think of him. So he can't be more than one fight away. So I say screw it. Now that we know Khabib's retired, we're going to go vacant. I want Chandler to be one of those people. Chandler Ferguson would probably be my ideal. You know, you take the last two guys who lost to the fighters tonight, or Chandler Gaethje. But I'm going to lean towards Chandler Ferguson.
Chandler, literally 1 minute ago, as you were talking, AK, goes on Twitter and said, "And I know Justin Gaethje won't want to wait. He said it tonight. I'll be ready tomorrow." But I gotta say, I think Chandler's gonna get that opportunity. One, because he made weight. Two, because he gained the airtime. And three, like the more I thought about it heading into the retirement, just watch like the way they filmed Khabib leaving the hotel and going to the arena with the blues and reds all lit up. They showed basically the whole ride to the arena. Like he's leaving the hotel, he's arriving. It was the whole ride. It was like, it was crazy to watch because they didn't do that for Gaethje. This is like the Sandman in Hardcore Heaven when he commandeered the ambulance. They showed him the whole time in an overhead shot. Like it was crazy. So it kind of makes a little more sense up, but I have a hard time believing Chandler just doesn't get that opportunity at this point, the way that they're promoting him. Do you do Ferguson? Probably. Ferguson has not been a happy camper as of late. So if you say, "Hey, Tony, buddy, let's reconcile. Let's get back together here. You versus Chandler for the belt." What do you say? I think that's where they go. But either I think it's going to be Chandler versus somebody. Casey, you have this look on your face. Like, I don't know. What do you think?
The UFC likes to make money. It's going to be McGregor versus Poirier for the vacant title. And then as much as I love Chandler, he's a great fighter, but he wasn't the Bellator champ, guys. You know, he's just a free agent. He was just a high-ranking Bellator fighter. He wasn't their champ. So it's not act like, you know, they didn't bring a champ over. So, no, I want to see Chandler Ferguson and then Gaethje versus whoever, Hooker. I don't know. It could be anyone. But I like Chandler Ferguson. And then McGregor, Poirier for the title. That sells money. There's real storylines there. And I love Chandler, but I think Chandler, I do actually think he needs to be a top guy. And I think Ferguson is that guy. And if Ferguson beats Chandler, then awesome, too. You know, win-win. Oh, but real quick. I missed a comment, but we were talking about crystals. And we don't have a believer. Read this.
We literally watched that man come back to life mid-fight. Don't tell me they don't help. And there, I didn't get a chance to say that, but the fact that Jared Cannonier did not get put away in the third round, maybe there is some to this crystal thing, AK.
I accept your apology, AK. We're moving on.
I'm only letting Jessica get away with this nonsense and taking this nonsense any further. I did see a comment that I want to talk about. I don't think we need to go full question on it, but it was, could we see, because Khabib said, I think today is, well, he said it's my last fight, but I think he'll said this is my last UFC fight. So I guess we're wondering, is there a loophole? GSP and Khabib outside of the UFC? Hey, Chatri, get on that. All right. That's a perfect one fight. Two guys who represent the honor and integrity of MMA. So Chatri, I'm just saying, make some phone calls, send some emails and see if you can make that happen. Because I think they're like 29 million viewers, I think, their last show or something like that. So that's pretty crazy.
For the year.
That's on the low end, I think. That's like they get 29 million viewers. Like, oh, it's like disappointing. It's like they really want to hit that 100 million figure mark on average.
Okay, so as you say all these things, there are literally odds that have come out on this. It comes out, the odds are, who will Justin Gaethje fight next in the UFC after losing to Khabib? Guess who the favorite is right now in the betting window?
You fight Justin Gaethje?
Connor.
Tony Ferguson. +110.
A rematch?
Dustin Poirier, +140. Khabib, +200.
So many unanswered questions? Like, why?
Yeah. Khabib is still in there, +200. Connor's +350. Casuals. Chandler's +500. And even Donald Cerrone getting the rub at +800.
Casuals.
Yeah. I just didn't know. No, I don't even know why I brought that.
Where was this question? Where's this question that you put up, Casey? Where is this?
How could you justify? Oh. How could you justify Connor? No one can I don't justify it. Casey doesn't justify it. AK doesn't justify it.
I don't want it.
Abe Lincoln justifies it. Benjamin Franklin justifies it. The big fat checks that will be written.
Upside
everyone buying
head.
It. That's upside what justifies head. It.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. You and Casey, just two pure, such pure innocent souls. But yes, if people are willing to pay for it, then it is justifiable. So none of us are saying we want it. I don't think any of us are saying like, oh, he should get he's guaranteed a title shot. But it's Conor McGregor. He fights for world titles. He normally fills arenas when, you know, we're not in a pandemic era, and he sells friggin' pay-per-views. So yeah, it's not fair, but there's no fair in combat sports.
Let's talk about fair then. Who fairly deserves the next title shot then?
Gaethje.
Why? He just lost tonight. Why does he fairly deserve it?
But he was so dominant in round one. I don't know. I mean,
that's what I mean. To me, there's no clear case for anyone, to be honest.
There really isn't.
Money is the case. Money is like the main factor.
The UFC.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Am I forgetting? Am I forgetting someone? I mean, I don't know. Am I just not? Like, who has a clear case to fight for the title?
Michael Chandler, because he hasn't fought for the title yet.
Can Hamzat make 155?
The one guy I think who has the longest winning streak in the division right now, currently outside of Habib, is Charles Oliveira.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if he never fought for a UFC title.
Yeah, he dominated Kevin Lee. It was Kevin Lee's last fight, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
He won, right? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And he
finishes fights. Yeah. He's super exciting. Like, he's a great stylistic matchup for I was going to say for Khabib, but I guess it doesn't matter anymore, but he should fight for a title. Yeah, exactly. If they made it like Gaethje versus Charles Oliveira or something, or Ferguson versus Oliveira for a vacant title, I wouldn't
object. Ferguson just came off a loss. So we're going to see Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler for the 155 title.
His first loss in like he's won like 12 straight fights.
But it's an L.
They never give fighters title shots off of losses.
Well, we're talking about who fairly. I hate you, Candy. I hate you, Candy Lee.
You don't mean that. Don't say that.
Plus, let's not forget, McGregor versus Poirier apparently is going to be at 170. So
which literally makes no sense.
They're gonna fight at 170 for the 155-pound title. How about that?
That makes sense, actually. I can see that.
While I have people mad at me, I have another take that's just gonna. Hold on, I gotta watch the comments because I want to see the comments explode when I say this. And I tweeted this earlier, and I think smart people got it. But our viewers are smart, so I mean, I expect them to explode in agreement. Shavkat Rakhmonov showed as much today as we've seen. What he did tonight against Alex Oliveira was as impressive as anything that Khamzat Chimaev has done in the UFC so far. I'm just saying, if we were going nuts about the wins over Rhys McKee and John Phillips, submitting a veteran like Alex Oliveira is insanely impressive. I don't think Alex Oliveira is a higher caliber fighter than Rhys McKee, John Phillips, and Gerald Meerschaert. I mean, Gerald Meerschaert is very good, but I think Oliveira, I would say, is like a close to a top 15. He's been ranked before, so I think it's a big win. It was on short notice for Cowboy for sure. So, but he missed weight, which normally supposedly gives people an advantage, and he lost. He lost to a guy who's now 13-0. So I want people. So I'm not saying get off the Chimaev train. I'm saying stay on the Chimaev train and also get on the Rakhmonov train. You can be on two trains at once, is what I'm saying.
All right, I don't think that's that fiery. I mean, I think that's
okay. Should have been more fiery. First of all, you can't be on two trains at once. That's just
yes,
that's,
you can.
No, you can't. That's gonna hurt. You can't do that. You can't. So, pick a train. All right.
Yeah. You can hop between the trains. All sometimes right. the trains meet at the same station. You transfer.
Well,
what else do we get? Does Lauren Murphy get a title shot at 125 pounds? Good Lord.
She wants one.
She's cutting some promos. Good Lord. Listen, she has an argument. All right. if you want to talk about the Andrea Lee fight and say that you don't think she won that fight, that's fine. You can say that. And there's a lot of people who would probably agree with you at this point. Every media member on MMA Decisions scored that Andrea Lee fight for Andrea Lee and not Lauren Murphy. But Lauren Murphy has won four fights in a row. She dropped Roxanne Modafferi on her dome the last fight, her most recent fight. She could have not fought on this card, fought Cynthia Calvillo in 3 weeks or a month on one of these November or December cards, solidified the title shot. No, she stayed on this card and fought a relatively unknown fighter who has a pretty unbelievable reputation from an international perspective, Olympic wrestler, very tough fight on like a week's notice, and you're risking it all. And she went out there, like Joanne Calderwood risked it all and got finished. Lauren Murphy goes in, risks it all, gets a finish of her own. Now, I know it's two totally different things. We're talking about two totally different people, but still, not a lot of fighters would have stayed on this card. Do I think Lauren Murphy has an argument? Sure, she does, okay? Jessica Andrade is right now the number one ranked contender in that division because she beat Caitlin Chookagian. She got the number one spot. So if you want to give it to Andrade, that's fine. If you want to do Murphy versus Calvillo, that's fine. If you want to do Murphy versus Andrade, that's fine too. I said on to the next one last week. As long as Andrade fights either the winner of Shevchenko versus Maya, Lauren Murphy, or Cynthia Calvillo next, I have no issues. And I still stand by that.
Casey, I know you tweeted shortly after that you wanted to see Murphy and Andrade. You said that you believe that's the way they should go right now, right?
If the UFC doesn't need someone for a quick turnaround for, I'm going to assume Shevchenko wins against Maya. We're gonna put that out there. If Maya somehow just doesn't beat Shevchenko and Shevchenko retains the title, and the UFC needs a quick they need a quick turnaround, then no, it should just be Shevchenko versus Andrade. If they think there's gonna be a break, then it should be Andrade versus Murphy, and put that on a featured fight on a pay-per-view, or I would like it to be a main event on a fight night, so we can get a nice five rounder there, and I think that will settle everything. But I think Murphy. Honestly, I think Murphy. I keep forgetting about Calvillo. I'm thinking Calvillo is gonna be out for a while, but it sounds like she's only gonna be out for a few more weeks. So I would just rather just run back Murphy versus Calvillo sometime this year, and then yeah.
That I think is the most likely thing. I do think they'll just run back Murphy and Calvillo. But I will say I'm in favor of Murphy. Like in a perfect world, I wish Murphy and Andrade would both be guaranteed title shots. Not because I'm saying like, oh, either of them are necessarily like super likely to upset, you know, Valentina Shevchenko, but just because I think it's these are good opponents for her to build up her championship resume. You know, I'm of the person that like I prefer the Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre way of building up your resume with like 8, 9, 10 title defenses. They're not all like amazing names, but there's like the majority of them are strong names, and every now and then you have what's the equivalent of, you know, mandatory title challengers. So I think Shevchenko needs some of those. Not everyone has to be like, oh my gosh, can she beat Valentina? It's like, no, I mean, you know, sometimes a champ, you just want to see the champ go to work, right? But we know that's not going to happen. We know you can't keep people waiting. It wouldn't be fair if Andrade waited and Lauren Murphy waited, because then where does that leave Calvillo, right? Then it's not fair to her. So people have got to fight, right? The division's got to move. But Lauren Murphy really just did like everything she could today, though. She got a finish. She fought again, like Mike said, when she didn't have to. She cut a very good promo. People can say, oh, she prepared the promo. And I'm like, that's not a bad thing. I'm a nerd. I'm a research guy. I'm like, you know, I believe in proper preparation. So people who were saying like, oh, it didn't sound organic, like she had it written down, I'm like, good. Good. I hope she wrote it down and memorized the speech, because that's a good thing. She knew what she wanted. You know what I mean? She predicted that she would have a moment, and she used it, right? So
fans were hating on Murphy for preparing.
I saw that.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
I saw that on one of our streams. Someone was hating on John Gooden, because John Gooden said when he was doing a scrum in Abu Dhabi, he was saying, he's like, I take a lot of notes. I take so many notes. And someone in our comments, and if they're there, you should be ashamed. If they're there watching right now, you should be ashamed, was saying like, what? I can't believe this guy needs to do research. He should know who all these fighters are. And I'm like, no. That's it. That's my response. I don't want to go on a rant about it, but research is not a bad thing. If someone's doing research, people, you should applaud it. That means they're doing their jobs, all right? It's not everyone knows everything about everything.
I saw one of the comments during the weigh-in show that we got shamed for not knowing that Izzy, whatever his name was, is like was part of the list of fighters to be weighed in. Like, nobody on earth knew that except for the UFC and Izzy himself.
He looked a little surprised when he went up. I'll be honest, he looked a little surprised. He
was like, me?
I'm weighing in. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
This is...
Don't give us...
Listen, Lauren, I understand where Lauren's coming from. I mean, and this... Dude. This was 2 years ago and Lauren Murphy fought Lilia Shakarova, Lauren Murphy would probably be a +330 underdog in that fight. Like, that's just how people viewed her. That's just how her performances were. But this is a different fighter. This is a different fighter. Like, her finishing Mara Romero Barella the way that she did. I mean, Barella was a different fighter back then, too. Like, she was looking good. She was on a good little streak. She was ranked. Murphy put it to her and finished her. Then the Andrea Lee fight, yeah, again, it's a little bit controversial. But the Modafferi fight, she dominated Roxanne Modafferi, and then she dominated tonight. So she is in the conversation. Do I think she will get a title shot at 125 next? No, I don't. I think she's going to have to get another win, unfortunately, because Valentina Shevchenko, let's remember, she's not the most active fighter on the planet. It's not like she fights every 3-4 months. If you get her twice a year, that's a bonus, the way her schedule normally works. So if her mentality is, my next fight is fighting for the title, she might be waiting a long time. So I think she's going to have to get another fight in and make another impression. If she gets another one in this year and fights Calvillo and wins, she might jump the line. She might jump the line.
Man, and I've ever... Murphy. Lauren Murphy hates Jennifer Maia. Good Lord.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I was like, do they have a beef? Like, there was something going on. Like, did Maia, like, back up? Did Maia back up her car and, like, scratch her door or something? Like, what happened? She was like, rip that title fight. Like, pull that contract out. I was like, dang, woman. Like, Maia did submit and finish JoJo Cardwood in a round. I was like, no, Maia earned that title shot. She was the invicted champ. She's fine. Like, it's a good title fight. It's, you know, good luck to Maia. You know, have fun with Shevchenko, but... Yeesh.
Take her ass out of there. Those are the things you have to say.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, I thought Lauren Murphy today was an A+. A+.
She did the most. She did the most she could do tonight, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. There's nothing more she could have done, except like, I'm flying to Valentina Shevchenko's house and slapping her across the face. There's literally nothing more she could have done. So yes, she deserves one, but she probably won't get one. Let's just, I think that's a fair statement. What else we got?
All right, hold on.
Sure, there's a lot. We could go for like 6 hours.
Thank you, Joseph Boza.
Very long time commenter. Always getting questions in.
Hold on, make sure it's all right. This is gonna cause lots of controversy, but we're gonna go ahead and answer it.
Clickbait.
Khabib has had the most dominant run, but is his place in the GOAT list overrated? Never fight of the year, never fighter of the year, never cleaned out the division, never rematched, never moved up, only 3 title defenses. I mean, but he's 29-0. He's lost 1 round in his entire career. Is he the most active guy? No. Did he get injured a lot? Yes. But has he beat and dominated
high level, pretty much everything high level guys?
And the tougher the challenge, the better he's performed. I don't think his place in the GOAT list is overrated. In fact, I think we can make an argument that it was underrated. AK even said it himself. I didn't think he was. I think you had him in the top 5 somewhere. But after today, I think you probably bumped him up a little bit. So it's fair to say he might be underrated, not overrated. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I already had him as the greatest lightweight ever, all promotions tonight. And with his performance tonight, he is – I don't have a problem. If you want to say he's the greatest MMA fighter ever, yeah. Yeah.
He's as good as anyone we've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's not his fault that the Tony Ferguson fight fell through 100 times, okay? Because that would have been that's a career defining. That's we always talk about moments, right? That's one, you know, you only get so many opportunities for moments in your career. You only get like maybe 5 or 6 like real moments in career. That should have been one of them for him. That Ferguson fight was going to be one of his moments. It just didn't work out. He has no control over that. It's not his fault that some of the other greats that we think of, like BJ Penn, Frankie Edgar, their career just didn't line up. You know what I mean? Frankie Edgar, when Khabib was coming up, was moving down to featherweight, so he wasn't going to fight Frankie Edgar. BJ Penn was already sort of easing out of his prime. We were kind of already entering the sad BJ phase, unfortunately. So that fight wasn't going to happen. So those are two of the other names we would think of as all-time greats. Benson Henderson went to Bellator. So if we're just talking about former champions and guys like that, he didn't have the chance to fight a lot of them, unfortunately. It's unfortunate. It just didn't cross past them. And for the record, if we're just projecting, I would take a prime Nurmagomedov over a prime BJ Penn, a prime Frankie Edgar, or a prime Benson Henderson. Strictly speculative. I if people want to argue otherwise, because then BJ Penn, one of the most talented fighters I've ever seen in my entire life to this day, I just think he'd be a little too small. And I think we saw kind of what happened with GSP. I think Nurmagomedov might be even a more dominant version of how those fights went. Though the first fight with BJ and GSP was close, of course. But he's not. That to me is why. Career-wise, I still don't think he's had the best career. Even I know undefeated record looks fantastic, but I'm just saying quality of opponents. It just I don't think it matches up to some of the other people. Again, and it's not his fault, but he is as good as anyone I've ever seen. Like, if you want to say is he a great fighter and maybe the greatest, you can argue that he's not number one on my list. But I don't think he's overrated. If to answer the question specifically, no, it's not overrated at all. No.
Well, I've seen people throw this out. Oh, we only have 3 title defenses. I don't care about that stat, because having the title only means, especially in the UFC, just means that he didn't get a title shot until the UFC felt that they could make money off him, like serious money. He went 9-0 in the UFC before he fought for a title, which was the interim title. Was it interim title? When he fought against Iaquinta.
That was the real belt.
Okay, sorry, that was a real belt. That was a real belt. So he had to fight 9 times. So, but like, how many times did John Jones have to fight before he got a title fight? Like, not 9 times, but I think like 4 times maybe?
5 or 6, I think.
Five or six or something.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, so he and John Jones was. They just figured out we can sell this guy. We can make lots of money. Habib, it took a while for the UFC to understand. Like, okay, this is a big prize fighter. We can make a lot of money from. So, but on this, so you can't take that. You can't hold that against Habib. He was dominating everyone up to that point. It was like I put these timelines together. You know, when we have upcoming title fights. And so many times, like, he would win fights, and I realized, like, we had almost nothing on him pre-fight, because the UFC, he was one of those guys they didn't even bring for pre-fight media, because he was so, just there was just no, oh, we don't need to talk to him, he doesn't speak English, there's just no interest in him. It wasn't until probably 4 or 5 wins into the UFC that, like, okay, we'll start bringing him, you guys can interview him early, you know? So, like, yeah, I just don't buy this whole, he didn't get enough title defenses, because that's strictly a promotional thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's their fault. I'm not blaming. That's what I'm saying.
People use it as a deterrent. How can you be the best if you only won 3 titles? You know?
I know. Let's not forget, Conor McGregor ran off with the lightweight title for a long period. That's not Habib's fault.
Yes. Like, it was frozen. Yeah.
Habib's fault? It's a lot of stuff was out of his control. Yeah. He could easily have had 5 or 6 or 7 title defenses easily if there was any sort of reasonable hierarchy in the UFC. So you definitely have to really look at that with a little more scrutiny than just, oh, 3 title defenses. It's like, it doesn't really tell the whole story.
They told Habib Nurmagomedov that he was going to fight Eddie Alvarez at UFC 205 for the lightweight title. They used him as a pawn.
Yep.
So McGregor could slide right in there and take the fight and take the title. Like, it was crazy. Like, Habib should have got that shot. So they had Habib fight Michael Johnson instead, and he beat the brakes off of him, was talking to Dana the whole time as he's punching Michael Johnson in the face, and then cuts the promo of, I want to fight your chicken. And that was, like, when everything kind of changed. Like, he was just the reaction from the crowd at MSG when Habib was cutting that promo was unbelievable. That's when, like, the UFC realized, they're like, all right.
That was it, yeah.
We got something.
I think that's when he broke out number one bullshit, too.
Yes. it was that week, I think.
Let's dissect the question before we move on. Let's just say, never fight of the year. I don't think that matters. I think a lot of great fighters were never in the fight of the year. John Jones had definitely had him with Gustafsson.
No, that's a good thing. That's just talking about his dominance. Yeah, you have to get beat up to win. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Come on, man.
GSP, I don't think, was ever in a fight of the year. Off the top of my head, I can't. Mighty Mouse, I wouldn't say, was ever in the fight of the year, so I don't think that matters. Never cleaned out the division. Again, like we said, a lot of that was out of his control. And again, I would ask also,
who didn't he clean out? Ferguson?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Other than Ferguson, who else are we like, oh man, Charles Oliveira maybe? But I don't feel like it's like we're dying to see him fight Charles Oliveira.
No way that fight could have happened, like, anytime soon either. Yeah.
never rematch. What rematch did we want to see Khabib do? Conor McGregor? No, thanks. It's good. I think we know who the better fighter is there. Never moved up. That to me is like the thing that matters like the least when gauging someone's great. If you only fight in one division, it's fine. I don't care. And we talked about the title defense in depth. But we do appreciate the question, though, John and Ram.
Thank you for the question. Thank you for the question, Mr. Ram.
Yeah, no,
it's a fair question. It's a fair question.
Yeah, it is a fair question. It's like these are like between the links kind of questions.
Yeah.
Where we got like differing opinions. Never fight. I don't know if it's fight of the year or fighter of the year.
Fighter of the year. Yeah, okay. Yeah. He never fought.
No. But even then, he just wasn't active enough. And if he did, like, it's just there aren't a lot of people, like, unless there's a title attached to it, there's not a lot of people 155 going to be like, you know what? Oh, I get to fight Khabib? Woohoo, let's do it. Like, even on the way up, wanted to take that fight. Like, why would they? Because you know it's going to happen. You're just going to get taken down. You're going to get smushed until the fight's over. So I think overrated is unfair.
Yeah. The only thing that may be holding him back is the fact that Khabib's done with the sport.
Yeah.
That's it. He's just over it.
Yeah, he's going out on top, and I guess, I don't know, some people feel like he's leaving something on the table. But again, there's really not that many unanswered questions. Ferguson, and that's about it. Yeah.
What's next for Miranda Maverick? She is a problem. Yes, she is. That was a violent performance. Brutal. Great, great win over and early on, like, Jujua was looking pretty good. She was moving well. She was landing jabs. She was landing combinations. And then once Miranda touched her, that was it. Everything just changed. But she looked really good. If you wanted to throw her a performance bonus tonight, I wouldn't have been mad at you because she made a big impact on those prelims. But Casey, I mean, you've been following Miranda for a while now. To see her finally get in there, she's 23 years old, make her UFC debut, have a performance like that, what did you think of it watching it?
She looked great, as advertised. I'm bummed out about the stoppage because I think that was one of the just the perfect, what I like to call it, girl stoppages. You know, when the fact that it's like, oh, there was a little blood. She had a cut on her nose and needs some stitches. We've seen so much worse and stuff. So I was bummed that that was even a controversy because it kind of took away from it. But she looked perfect in it. Looked great. I don't want to see her rush. She's only 23. Give her, whoever, some bottom tier 25ers right now, get maybe two more of those before they really push her. I hope they don't do with give her the Macy Barber type of treatment.
No.
I don't think she's that type of personality either that Dana wants, I'm the best ever, but just, build her up and, yeah, obviously, when she's in a couple of years, I completely expect her to be a top five, even better fighter. So, yeah.
I think the worst part about the cut controversy, I think a lot of people might have missed what caused the cut. They did a good job on the broadcast showing the replay of what the strike. It was like a step in, like elbow.
It was beautiful elbow. Yeah, I was like, yeah, beautiful.
23-year-old fighters, prospects, are not regularly landing step in elbows with that kind of accuracy and that kind of, they might throw it out there, but to land it with that kind of accuracy and that kind of damage, that's crazy.
It's a hard strike to land. It is.
That's like when Chris Weidman landed that step in elbow on Mark Munoz, right? We were all so excited, like, this is a future champion. I'm like, I'm not guaranteeing Maverick's a future champion, but this is the kind of strike that you see the strike and it'll be on, her highlight reel again for the next whatever, however many years she decides to fight. And we'll be like, oh man, like this is why she's such a big deal. So yeah, the cut probably shouldn't have stopped the fight, but the strike that caused the cut, beautiful. What's next for her though is stay in school, keep working on that PhD. Because she seems like a smart cookie. Keep working on that PhD, and then as she said herself, man, once she's done getting school out of the way, who knows, man? Who knows when she can focus fully on fighting? How dangerous she's gonna be?
She's tough to match up right now because either like you don't want to push her too far, or you don't want to like throw up her against another prospect that that she'll do really well against. So it's like it's tough to match her up at this point because like Justine Kish, that's the fight to make, something like that. I think that's perfect.
Around there.
That's perfect. Like, Shauna Dobson kind of got in my mind, but I don't want to see that just because I think Shauna's better than advertised, and she showed it. And she's a gritty, tough fighter. And then again, I don't know. You have that story of, like, prospect killer with Shauna Dobson and the spoiler. Like, I don't want to see – like, Antonina Shevchenko would have been a good one, but I think the UFC, like, sees so much value in her. Like, that's where – like, these are the fights that Antonina Shevchenko should be getting, not – you know, not the Roxanne Modafferi's of the world and those guys and the Caitlin Chookagian. She shouldn't be fighting anybody in the top 15. But that's where we're at right now. She is in the top 15. But yeah, build her slowly. There's no need to rush her. She wants to be active, so let her be active and let her start just inching her way up. Just start taking these contenders out. But she is a very legit prospect. Keep your eye on 125 pounds.
I like the four M's, Javon, in the question. The four M's for Miranda Maverick, mixed martial arts.
Yes. Who deserves a title shot against Adesanya? Well, Robert Whittaker deserves the title shot. I think we're all pretty much in agreement here. But I think the problem is he probably won't get the next title shot because Robert Whittaker's going to do what Robert Whittaker wants to do. He wants to have Christmas, wants to wait for the newborn, doesn't want to fight till probably April at this point. I don't think Adesanya is going to wait that long.
Is Robert Whittaker one of those people that puts up Christmas decorations like before Thanksgiving? Like he was talking about putting Christmas. Like after he does it after Halloween, he's got lights up and like inflatable Santas in his yard in like early November.
He does live in Australia, right? So everything's backwards over there, Casey. So they got to remember everything's a little different there. So you know what I mean? The decorations might go up at a different time, right? It's different. It's a different world over there. They're upside down.
You're right. You know when they flush the toilet, the water goes the other way?
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's wild.
I've heard that. He himself has said, he was saying in the interviews earlier this week that he doesn't want to fight. He's like, look, he was asked like several times, like in different ways. And he kind of kept insisting, I don't care about the title shot next. I'm not fighting in December. I want to take the rest of the year off. I want to spend time with my family. I want to get fat. I want to enjoy Christmas. Only at the end did he say, like, if it was a title shot that was proposed for, like, December 12th or December 19th, that he'd be like, my team would have to work really hard to convince me to take that fight. And I imagine his team's kind of on the same page as him and would probably, you know, they might try to convince him. I don't think they would work that hard to convince him. I think they'll be happy letting either Till or Hermanson step in there for a title shot. Or, of course, all the other Izzy possibilities, which I don't want to – it's a whole other discussion. But I guess that's what this person is asking. But as far as just the middleweight title picture, I think it's Till or Hermanson next because Whittaker is gonna take time off.
Is this like – because of the drawing power and all that stuff, is this like – okay, if Till wins, we have a middleweight title fight. But if Hermanson wins, I think we get to bump him at this point. Like I don't know. It's a tough sell, man. I like Jack Hermanson. He's like one of the friendliest fighters on the planet. I could talk to that guy for an hour, but not a big draw.
He lost to Cannoneer.
And he lost to Jared.
Pretty convincingly, yeah.
I don't know. That fight just got a lot bigger, though. I'll tell you that right now.
So if Hermanson wins, we already said Whittaker won. If Hermanson wins, then the door's open for John Jones immediately in the minds of the matchmakers. Jumps the four, like they just try to make that fight happen somehow, right?
I don't know if he has to beat because I see a lot of people saying he's got to beat Błachowicz and win that title before he fights John Jones. I don't agree with that at all. Like I think you could just make the Jones fight if you want.
I think it's weird.
I forgot about Błachowicz, right?
They could make that. Oh yeah, fight. You forgot about the champ. You noob.
Jeez. That's going to fill the conversation now. Great. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
But you know what? Yeah. I think there is a chance for Izzy Whittaker, but only if regulations change in New Zealand or Australia where they could actually have – because I know New Zealand, as far as, like, COVID – they're on the forefront. Like they're probably of all the countries in the world right now, they're doing one of the best.
Yes.
So if I could see them doing Izzy Whittaker in New Zealand, I know this is a stretch because the UFC is so focused on Vegas and Fight Island, but I could see that. And then, because I know they're having crowds there. So early, like first quarter of 2021, if they could have a full arena in New Zealand, there's a lot of hoops to jump through with international travel and everything. But if they load half that card up with Aussie and New Zealand fighters, and then just have to bring in a few Americans, you know, off the two week quarantine, everything, I can see that as a possibility. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, and you know what would make things easier, Casey? If they didn't say, oh, well, we got to fill up with like, we got to have a 12 fight card. For that, for an event like that, if you could actually get people back in the arena, you could do like a 6 fight card, an 8 fight card, again, of just New Zealand and Australia fighters. Again, whatever makes it easier, because you mentioned the full crowds. Those were for game soccer games where or football where it was teams from the area, right? So you know you're not dealing with travel. So if that's what they have to do, then they don't have to. I mean, you know, they probably could find 24 fighters from New Zealand and Australia.
Is the Whitaker main event, co-main event, Volkanovski versus, I don't know, who's the number one contender right now, 45. But
Bald Brian Ortega.
There you go.
Bald Brian.
Bald Brian, you got, yeah.
There you go.
Shave Brian. He's not bald. Yeah, he's shaved.
One or two international names, right?
Yeah. So
one or two American.
You have two
names.
Title fights. You don't need a full 12-fight card. Do an 8-fight card. Five
fights, six fights,
three.
You got plenty.
Two prelims, two good prelims on ESPN to get people revved up to pay their money for the pay per view, and there you go.
That's it.
Dana, watch our show, Dana.
Think outside the box. We are trying to help you, UFC. Clearly, this multi-billion-dollar company needs our help. That's what I'm saying. They need our ideas.
You put Tai Tuivasa on the card. Yeah, you put Brad Riddell on the card. You put Jake Matthews on the card.
Dan Hooker.
Malarkey.
Dan Hooker. Yeah.
Malarkey.
Jamie Malarkey. Put him on the card.
Before we move on from this question, I did want to say one more thing about waiting, though. Waiting for an opportunity. Whitaker's in a different situation, but I was thinking about this when the Lauren Murphy question was asked. I just don't want fighters to, and I think this is, I don't want to make this a thing now, but I don't want fighters to Leon Edwards themselves is kind of the new phrase I'm using now, because I think everyone's has seen the before, I guess, the last couple of days, Leon Edwards sort of being removed from the rankings and then immediately being booked, now officially, I guess, against Chimaev.
We talking about this?
Leon Edwards. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, fighters apparently have to be careful because it's waiting unless there's only certain fighters that can wait forever, like the McGregors of the world and have that kind of leverage, John Jones. Leon Edwards is unfortunately not in that range despite being a legitimate top 10 guy. That means nothing to the UFC. It means literally nothing. They have all the leverage in this situation, and now he's ending up in an extraordinarily difficult fight, which I think he can win. I mean, I'm waiting to see what the line is on this fight with Chimaev, but it's still a really dangerous opponent. It's just so little to gain, I feel. I don't know.
I think I saw it was Edwards is minus 175.
That's reasonable. Chimaev. He should be favored.
He should. Yeah, minus 175 is like, exactly. Actually, it's Some have Chimaev as minus 140. They're all over the place. Yeah.
So
they're all over the place.
I asked on Twitter, because I didn't actually know the answer. I was like, when was the last time a top five fighter on a win streak, mind you, fought someone outside of the top 20? Not on short notice. The best one someone came up with, I was like, oh, yeah. Cub Swanson, who was on a win streak. He just beat Superboy in the fight of the year. He fought in a main event on a fight night against the GOAT, Artem Lobov, which was a ridiculous fight at the time. Why was that fight booked, going back in time real quick?
Well, because Lobov is the number one, even though he's not ranked officially, he's like the number one on the it's like he's like beyond rankings.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like a side rankings that we can't access, but like he's just assumed to be number one at the top of that ranking no matter all the time.
Kind of like the champions by default number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever pulled that though, good pull.
Yeah. I was like, So yeah. So
that's a good one.
Yeah. So Chimaev is the new Artem Lobov.
New Artem Lobov. Wow, that's lofty. And now the hype train is chugging all over again.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough for Leon Edwards because you felt bad for him for a little while. Like once the Woodley fight ended, and then you saw what Gilbert Burns did to get to where he's at, and you know then getting the title shot, but he couldn't make it, and then it just. Because, see, someone asked me this on Twitter. Like, didn't Leon Edwards turn down a bunch of fights? I don't know. Like, only a few select people actually know the answer to that question. Because Leon said that other people turned him down and then vice versa. So nobody really knows. Like, there's like three or four people on this planet that actually know the answer to that question. But then it's just – eventually you just – then you're just calling your shots on stuff that just isn't going to happen. Like, you know you're not getting a title shot. You know you're not fighting Masvidal. You know you're not fighting Colby Covington. It's just not going to happen. Like, it's – take the Wonderboy fight. Like, I cannot believe that never happened.
Yeah.
Or, like, whether it was offered or not offered. Like, what is happening here? But now, like, since you're ready to go and you know, like, I just have to get in there and fight and you're kind of backed up against the corner, Chimaev's the best option available right now. for either way, it's a win-win for both. It's a win-win either way, because if Leon Edwards beats Hamza Chimaev, he gets all the mojo back. Like, whatever mojo he had is back and probably even more. But if Chimaev goes out there and beats Leon Edwards in his fourth UFC fight, that is ridiculous. That's humongous, and he's the real deal. And you could probably give him a title shot right after that.
Whatever the reports and rumors are of how this Edwards situation was handled, one thing we can know for sure now that the dust is somewhat settled, he did not get what he wanted. Okay, I don't know. There is no way. Whatever was offered, whoever didn't want to fight him, whoever he didn't want to fight, this is not the conclusion that he was looking for. So I'm just saying, fighters and people in life in general, just be careful. Know what you have in your hand. Okay, just I'm saying, and what it's worth.
I also want to say I feel bad for Neil Magny, because Dana White's all like, "Who wants to fight this killer?" And Neil Magny's like, "I'll fight him." And Dana's like, "Who wants to fight this guy?"
Anyone
out there? Okay, I guess no one wants to fight him. He's so scary. Nobody wants to fight him. So poor Neil Magny. Poor Neil Magny.
Neil Magny, we see you. It is in the records. We know you wanted to fight Chimaev. Okay, everyone, the people need to know he wanted to fight Chimaev.
Yeah, I just want to put that out there in the universe. I like this.
I agree.
I like this question, actually.
After watching this fight, do you change how you think Khabib versus Ferguson would go?
What was your?
I still think Khabib would. I thought Khabib would beat him from the get go.
Me too.
I think he'd beat some. I think honestly, and I like Tony Ferguson. Like, we've had some good conversations over the years. I can't like talk to him now because he's under new management, so it's a lot more difficult than it was like 3 or 4 years ago. But I just don't think. I think Khabib would have beat him worse now than it would have, like, if they fought at UFC 209 back in the day or whatever.
I was definitely flying the Ferguson flag for a long time. If you'd asked me this 2 years ago, I probably would have said I think that Ferguson is like the best possible guy who could match up with him, just because I think he's unpredictable. I think his scrambling ability, I think it's top notch. He is a good wrestler. Tony Ferguson is a good wrestler, and I thought I would have said his striking is better than Nurmagomedov's. I don't know if it is, but that's what I would have said. Now, again, as if we're just talking about age, I think Tony is 37 now, 37 years old. That's a lot of mileage, a lot of hard fights, a lot of mileage. And based on what we've seen, the improvements in Khabib's game and maybe some of the limitations of Ferguson's game were kind of exposed in the Gaethje fight. I don't know if you want to call it that, but I'll say I am now fully. I know you guys were already on it, so I'm the one who's late here. But after seeing tonight, I'm like, I can't imagine picking Ferguson to beat Khabib Nurmagomedov in a fight. So I think Brentonio raises a good question here.
Yeah,
I agree.
With the skill set that Khabib has now versus say when it was originally booked 20 years ago or something like that.
So young.
I think maybe when Khabib Ferguson 1 was booked, possible Ferguson would have won that, you know. But I think the Khabib that retired tonight, how long we want to talk for?
Let's do like two more questions. Cool. We actually have a Saturday night.
Yeah, I know. I got it. Right.
This is how I want to spend it.
AK's gonna stay on here for the next 8 hours.
We're just gonna keep this rolling. Just carry your laptop around your home with you.
AK, do you want? While we put up the next question, do you want to talk about what Phil Haas did tonight?
Oh.
All right,
we're good with questions. Let's talk about some other fights on the road. Let's just what do we want to talk about? Let's Phil Haas, yeah.
All right, listen. Everyone in our staff is busting my chops about Phil Haas. Oh, you give me the single camera. Oh, jeez. Okay. Everyone's busting my chops about Phil Haas because there's multiple reasons. One, I thought it was weird that they did a 6-fight main card and insisted on throwing two UFC debutants on it, Phil Haas and Jacob Malkoon. Especially Jacob Malkoon, his fifth. Like pro MMA, it just didn't make sense to me. And again, I am the person who does the predictions for the site, so it just meant it like another like three paragraphs I had to write. So yes, there was some bias on my part, some laziness, which is why I may not have wanted to see another fight in the main card. The other thing is Phil Haas, I think most hardcore MMA fans know, has been on the kind of the hardcore prospect list for years. I mean, he appearance on Ultimate Fighter, he ended that. He's a former training partner of John Jones. I mean, you just look at when you look at the guy fight, you just see glimpses of greatness. You certainly saw it tonight. But I was also kind of like joking, like, man, is this guy ever going to make the UFC? He did the Ultimate Fighter. He did the Contender Series twice. The first time he didn't make it. He's fought for Bellator. He's fought for World Series of Fighting. He's fought for Brave Combat Federation. And it's like he's 31, which and still young in fight years. But, you know, when you see any athletes, they get over 30, you start thinking like, man, are they ever going to get that call? So part of me was like, man, I can't believe they're still trying to make Phil Haas happen. You know, ha, 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 funny me. Sure enough, they did keep trying to make Phil Haas happen. Phil did happen. And he happened all over Jacob Malkoon tonight. So you will hear no more Phil Haas slander from me. Okay, you'll hear no more Phil Haas slander. Phil Haas' performance was amazing. 18-second knockout. Let's give him the Chimaev push. All right, like, whatever you want to say. Whoever you want to fight Jan Blachowicz tomorrow, go for it. Whatever you guys want to say. I'm just nodding my head and shutting my mouth.
Good job. Good job, AK.
Listen, the guy paid his dues, and I kept, honestly, in no respect to Jacob Malkoon, I think I said this on Twitter, maybe one day Jacob Malkoon will be the light heavyweight champion of the world or the middleweight champion of the world. Like, nobody really knows. But on this very night, considering, like if you just look at their record, like, go to both of their Tapology pages, okay? Jacob Malkoon is fighting Phil Haas, who's a tough guy at 4-0, okay? Phil Haas fought Luis Taylor at 4-0. Then he fought Julian Marquez on the Contender Series at 4-1. Like, this guy was brought up, like, to be a prospect, and then they threw him to the wolves. And then rather than give up, like, and get not, he got beat badly in two consecutive fights, this dude could have just stopped. He could have stopped. But he went back, he paid his dues, fought for World Series of Fighting, went over and fought for Brave, and, you know, fought some international guys and took those long fights. Like, the guy has officially paid his dues. So this is all good for him. Like, that's why I felt like I didn't think he was going to win in 18 seconds, but I knew this fight wasn't getting out of 2 minutes. Like, Phil Haas is a legit guy, and he's got the experience, and he's got the fact that now he's paid his dues and gone through the ups and the downs of this sport at such a young age. He's only 31 years old. Like, he's going to be someone to watch.
Absolutely.
Like, he's going to be someone to watch. What do you do with him, Casey? What do we do with Phil Haas now?
Did he win 50K tonight? Did he not get...
No. Ooh. He did not.
No.
Ankalaev beat him.
Yeah. 18-second knockout. Not enough, I guess.
You know what? He only didn't get that because of his opponent, I think. If there was a top 10 guy, if it was Derek Brunson on the other side of the cage, he knocked him out in 18 seconds. No way. I mean, of course he gets 50K. So, man, yeah. Yeah, poor Jacob. Jacob. I call him Jacob.
You guys are like that. Also, I think they were definitely going to give Habib a bonus with a good performance, even especially after the and then after they you know he retired. I think they're just like, we have to send him out with that performance bonus.
Phil Haas. Yeah, I mean, who do you fight? Someone like right outside the top 15, I would think. You know, I just can't think of a name right now.
I actually feel like Eric Anders is like the guy I would throw all these like prospects to. And I like Eric Anders, but I feel like that's where to go. What about like a Zach Cummings?
I think he faces another newcomer. You meant to have so much UFC experience, and again, like we said, he's had more high level experience than most guys who are was he not 9-4 now or 8-4 whatever he is. He's had a lot of that is against quality competition, but still, I think they'll try and find. And at least since he wants to turn around quickly, I think they're going to find someone to fight him in Vegas, in the next 6 weeks or so.
You just answered. There you go. He's going to Vegas. You know what you do? You put him against the middleweight gatekeeper, Brad Tavares. Let's find out where he's at. That's fine. Okay, we know we can hurt people. Let's go, Brad Tavares. That's
you are not invited onto the next episode of hashtag onto the next one. All right, I'm not invited.
I'm gonna give my answer since they booked they didn't listen to the Joaquin Buckley idea that I had, and they booked him against Jordan Wright, which I like that fight, by the way.
I love that fight.
Fluffy Hernandez versus Phil Haas is the fight to make.
Oh yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely tune in tomorrow.
I think Phil's ready for bigger things, but. Whatever, an opinion.
Wow.
Give him one more.
Okay.
One
you're
more.
Trying to go.
I'm not giving him the. I said random Maverick build up slow. Phil Haas, boy's ready. He's ready.
Casey was ready to give Chimaev a title shot after Fight Island. So.
Lightweight.
Do we have any more questions, or
you want to talk about Volkov, Walt Harris? No, but we didn't even talk about that.
If there's a question about it, certainly we can.
Yes.
Well, the question is, man, why did the UFC do this to Walt Harris?
Oh, this is a question from the truck.
Yeah, a quote from
We were saying before the show, it is promotional malpractice that they did not. I should just be delicate with this. Obviously, you know, the Anaya Blanchard story was it dominated the narrative of Walt Harris's fight with Alistair Overeem, as it should. This was a really, really tragic real life story. I think Walt did an amazing job of handling sort of the media that came along with it, because I think he would have been very justified in saying, look, I don't want to talk about this story. I can give you some quotes, but I don't want to do an ESPN special on it. I don't want to build it into this promo video. But it's my understanding that all this, you know, weaving that sort of that personal tragedy into the buildup for the fight, I imagine him and his family sort of okayed that. So whether people agree with it or not, at least I think we know that Walt was okay with it. And but the Alistair Overeem fight was really tough. But that was rebooked, right? I mean, he was supposed to fight Overeem.
His original booking before, and rebooked, yeah.
And then, of course, and then the incident happened, of course. So I think he wanted to get that fight back. That was for him for sure. He looked up to Overeem. So win or lose, I don't think it mattered. The Volkov booking was a little more confusing. I think we all want to see Walt Harris get a win. I'm not saying he's a good fighter. I'm not saying he's a guy who needs to have his hand held and like, oh, let's, you know, he doesn't need a charity case. But I think there's winnable, entertaining fights and good stylistic matches for him that could really kind of give people that feel-good moment they want to see with Walt Harris. And Alexander Volkov was not that matchup. So good for Volkov for getting that win. He looked great tonight. But I do hope that for Walt Harris's next fight, they're a little more careful with the matchmaking.
Truth be told, I picked Walt Harris in our pick'ems. I didn't like the championship weight for Volkov. That concerned me. It really did, because that was like 18 pounds heavier than the fight before.
Muscle.
With Curtis Blaydes. That's still a lot of muscle. That's a lot.
But he's like 30 feet tall. He's like 30 feet tall. So like that's
huge.
That's you know, that's just an extra 5 pounds on the dumbbells. That's what builds up to an extra 17 pounds. So
I got a little concerned, and then I saw Walt. Who would normally be around there? He was looking pretty trimmed up. I was like, all right, we got an in shape Walt Harris. Apparently, we have a fat Volkov, like who just got out of shape and missed. Not the case, but like it concerned me, which is why I kind of leaned Walt Harris. He had to do it early, which we knew kind of like after the first round. Like early on, like Walt looked pretty good. He was getting inside. He was landing some shots, and then once Volkov started getting his range and landing those leg kicks, and you could tell
his demeanor changed. Yeah, you saw it. Like, ooh boy.
I was like, oh boy, this is not good. But
hey,
I think the fight to make now is Maurice Greene and Greg Hardy are fighting next week on the main card. Give Walt Harris one of those guys, winner or loser. I think that makes sense. Like Maurice Greene's a guy that's like, he's perennially like a top 20, 25 guy. So if he goes out there and beats Greg Hardy, he's going to get a little bit of buzz, you know, a little more fanfare because people, you know, how people view Greg Hardy. Give him that fight. It's a winnable fight for Walt Harris. That would give him a nice little rub.
When are they fighting again? What you said, what day are they fighting?
Next week, Halloween.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an appropriate Halloween fight because that fight's going to be weird.
There's a lot of weird fights on that card.
They booked it right. They booked it right
spooky
for Halloween.
Again, fights.
Ryan Hall was supposed to be on there, right? And nothing says Halloween like the master of the 50-50 position. So I know they didn't do it intentionally, like to kind of theme it weird freaky fights for Halloween. But they almost really had something there.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Well,
that's where we're at.
Yeah, I'll give Mark.
Next week will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, give Walt Harris like, yeah. Whoever Tom Aspinall just beat. Someone like that. I'm not sure who he can.
Yeah, right? I don't think Walt like that, but
I'm sure
the contract to sign it.
So it's like we see a lot of fighters lose, and I just forget them about a week later. So and who still have UFC contracts? So one of those fine gentlemen should face Walt Harris next.
There we go.
Yeah. I got things to do, gentlemen.
I think we all kind of do.
We actually do have more work to do. But I mean, I always like to say thanks to everyone who tuned in. We still have a few thousand people watching, which is insane. But that's because our viewers are fantastic.
Too.
And we get to do it again next week. We're good, and every week through December 19th. Looks like December 19th is the cutoff for the rest of the year. We're not going to do a post Christmas card.
They might do a card on Christmas. We don't know.
That's it. Well, they could. Yeah, it's Friday. get some good viewership. So, but next week, Anderson Silva, what looks to be the final fight of his career, against Uriah Hall. We got Bryce Mitchell versus Andre Feely in the co-main event. Ooh. That's a great fight. We have, I'm just going off the top of my head here, Morris Green versus Greg Hardy. Alexander Hernandez versus Chris Gritzmacher. I have a feeling there's going to be some Halloweenish stuff going on with that fight. It's a pretty good card. It'll be fun. It's perfect October 31st kind of a card.
Oh, and next week, the second most highest anticipated fight of the year, Musasi versus Lima.
That's right. Oh. That is true.
Oh, yes.
On Thursday.
Yes.
I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
I hope it's the most amazing draw ever. Because I love both those gentlemen, and I don't want one to lose, but I want them to punch each other and be awesome. But, oh, man, I'm so excited for that.
Please place your kicks appropriately.
Oh, God. Bellator's been so bad.
There's just too much of that going on in the Bellator cage these days. But that fight's great. I did talk to Musasi on Friday, I think. Thursday or Friday. So we'll probably pop that out in the next couple of days. It was good stuff. Musasi was just as friendly and funny as always.
By the way, shout-outs, by the way, to Jose Youngs, who unfortunately cannot be with us on the post show. But this is, I think he is now done with his Fight Island tour of duty, as it were, for now, this current tour of duty for Fight Island. You guys might not see Jose around for a while, so I'm going to say I will just shout him out, and I will say he's also very thankful for all the viewership and all the guys, you guys tuning into our videos and tuning into our live streams. He can be a little curmudgeonly, but I assure you he loves you all very, very much, and he loves to work hard for you guys. But yes, he hopefully will return back to the good old US of A sometime this week. We hope Monday, but we don't know. And given how the travel has been, he's been on Fight Island for about it feels like a year. So please, you guys, please send nice messages to Jose at Jose Youngs on Twitter, and just let him know how much you appreciate his efforts. The guy is a maniac, and we love him for it.
Absolutely. So UFC 254, at least for now, put a bow on it. Khabib Nurmagomedov,
the GOAT,
ends his career, the undefeated, undisputed lightweight champion of the world. So a lot will happen at 55. So congratulations, happy trails to Khabib Nurmagomedov, and that's it. So thank you all for spending this crazy week with us. UFC 254 Fight Week has officially come to an end. For Alex K. Lee, for E. Casey Lydon, I am Mike Keck. Good night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.